You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, Tim McMaster here, along with our MLB.com Phillies reporter, Todd Zielecki. The offseason is upon us, the hot stove season, and the Phillies have been busy early on. We'll get into Howie Kendrick. We'll talk about some other moves they've made, what the goals are as far as what they can add to this team during the offseason. But Todd, we got to start with Jeremy Hellickson, who decided to accept the qualifying offer. So it'll be 1 year back with the Phillies for $17.2 million. I guess my first question for you is, would the Phillies have preferred to get that first-round draft pick rather than have Hellickson on the roster in 2017?
Yeah, I think that that would have been their preference. Of course, you know, they're going to say they're happy to have him back. And certainly, there's no harm in having him back. He was a very productive pitcher for them last season, and they can still trade him before next season's July 31st trade deadline. But when they made him that qualifying offer, I think they fully expected him to decline it and sign a multi-year contract with another team and then get that first-round draft pick. In fact, that's kind of what they were holding out for during the previous, this past July's trade deadline. They were looking for talent. When they talked to teams, they were looking for talent kind of commensurate with what they would get if you rejected the qualifying offer. So I think that's what they were hoping for. I believe that they would have been fine going forward with a bunch of young starting pitchers, namely Nola, Eichhoff, Velasquez, Thompson, Asher, Eflin, you know, that whole group, going forward with them through in the 2017 season. But again, having Jeremy Hellickson makes the rotation better, and they can still trade him at the upcoming trade deadline in July.
Yeah, and now knowing how this worked out, I think they'll probably be a little more motivated to get that done this July. How about from his standpoint? Are you surprised at all? Just because when you look at the market out there for starting pitchers, I mean, beyond Rich Hill, I think Jeremy Hellickson's probably the next best guy that could have been available. Granted, he would have had that pick attached to him, which a lot of teams would have maybe paused before maybe making a move, but I would think a really good multi-year deal was available for him if he really wanted it, if he wanted to turn down that qualifying offer.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. When I talked to him yesterday about it, he basically said, yeah, you know, early last week when they offered it to me, I was leaning towards declining it, but in the last couple of days, when Scott Boras is his agent. He said basically, Scott said, you know, a lot of teams are interested, but they also said they're really reluctant to give up that first-round draft pick, and which is understandable. So I think in Jeremy's mind, he's confident that he's healthy, and because he is healthy, he believes he had the success that he had last season. And so he doesn't really look at it as a huge gamble. In other words, he's going to make $17.2 million next year. He believes he can replicate that success, and if he can replicate that success, he's going to have a longer track record for teams to look at. So instead of having one good year, you know, kind of a bounce back year, they're going to say, "Wow, he did it 2 years in a row." And with the CBA possibly changing next year, there might not be that first round draft pick attached to him. So I think he's looking at it as a gamble, but as a good gamble to make on himself.
Yeah, you mentioned if the CBA changes, maybe no pick. And also, if the Phillies do trade him, there wouldn't be a pick either for whatever team they trade him to. So definitely, I think, a better chance that he wouldn't have that pick attached to him, which would, I think, expand the amount of teams that would be interested in him in a year. And hey, $17.2 million for a year's work, it's not bad if you can get it. All right, moving on. Howie Kendrick, the Phillies have gone out and gotten him for Darren Ruff and Darnell Sweeney. Kendrick's a guy that for most of his career, Todd, was an infielder, but he kind of showed that he can be an effective outfielder as well. When the Phillies look at him, where do they see him playing, or does that kind of depend on what happens around the rest of the roster?
Well, as of today, you know, if they would kind of remain status quo, he's going to be their everyday left fielder. You know, certainly he came up as a second baseman. There was some kind of real small talk that Cesar Hernandez could be on the market. I talked to Matt Klentak last week about this. He said, we are not looking to trade Cesar Hernandez. He's coming off a great season, an even greater second half. So right now the plan is to have Howie Kendrick play left field, but he certainly does give them some flexibility. And they like this move because of that flexibility. Because for this reason. They, you know, they have they're going to have to add a bunch of guys to the 40-man roster on Friday, so they're going to have a lot less flexibility this year in terms of calling guys up, bringing guys down. You know, kind of that back and forth that you have with some kind of like those quote unquote 4A players, etc. So they really need guys that they know can play every day or almost every day, and they can plug into certain positions should there be an injury. So now that they have Holly Kendrick, they know he can play every day in left field, and if something should happen to Cesar Hernandez, an injury at second base, they know he can move there. If something should happen to Michael Franco at third, they think he can play a little bit there. He's also played some first base. If something should happen to Tommy Joseph, et cetera, et cetera. So that's why they like this move, and they think he's a candidate for a bounce back. His batting average of balls in play last year was his lowest mark in years, so they think that if he bounces back to his regular numbers, his production will go back up, and they think that he will help out their offense last year, next season, which was the worst in baseball this year.
You mentioned that bad offense, and I know Pete McCannon late in the year talked about the need to add bats to this team going forward into 2017. Is Kendrick enough, or are they going to be active as far as bringing in a free agent bat?
Well, you know, I really think that this is probably going to be it in terms of the big bat. You know, not that he's necessarily a big bat, but he's a everyday player that they certainly needed. And I say that because now that you have Kendrick in left field, again, assuming that, you know, nobody else is traded or whatever, you have Odubel Herrera in center field, and now you have a vacancy in right field. Now, if they were to go out and find somebody else, a free agent or whatever, pretty much right field is the only place you could play him. I mean, you know, maybe you could find somebody to play first base along with Tommy Joseph, but really second, short, third, catcher are all tied up. So it doesn't really make sense at this point to go out and find a player that's going to have regular playing time in right field, because the Phillies want to see, you know, is Aaron Altair going to turn it around? Is he worth holding on to? You know, Roman Quinn, you know, Nick Williams, one of their top prospects, he could be up at some point. Dylan Cousins, another one of their top prospects, could be up at some point. So they actually want to have a place for these guys to play semi-regularly. And if you sign another bat, like I said, most likely it would go in right field, and that would kind of put the kibosh and all that stuff. So for that reason, I think if they do bring in another bat, it would be more of the fifth outfielder variety, a guy that maybe could pinch hit a little bit, maybe hit a home run on occasion.
The winter meetings last year in December in Nashville, the Phillies were active in the Rule 5 draft as far as bringing in players. Todd, now it seems like they're kind of going to go the other way beyond the defensive, because they have a lot of young talent, and obviously a lot of these guys need to be protected, or there's the fear that other teams could sweep in and grab some guys. Is that the biggest thing behind the release of Matt Harrison this week?
Yeah, it absolutely is. You know, the Phillies got Matt Harrison that Cole Hamels trade in July of 2015. He was basically salary relief for the Rangers for taking on the remainder of Hamels' deal. He was injured at the time. The Phillies had no expectations he would pitch. Sure enough, you know, he never pitched because of a chronic back injury. But, yeah, the timing definitely coincides with the deadline Friday that the Phillies have to place their Rule 5 draft-eligible prospects on the 40-man roster, otherwise risk losing them. So by releasing Harrison, they now have 32 players on the 40-man roster, and then, you know, they actually have probably more than 8 players they could protect. I mean, it's a list that includes Nick Williams, Dylan Cousins, who we just talked about, Mark Appel, Andrew Knapp, top catching prospect, pitching prospects like Ricardo Pinto, Nick Pivetta, Ben Lively, Alberto Torrado, you know, another position player prospects like Andrew Pullen and Jesmiel Valentin. So they have, you know, and that's just arguably the top guys on the list. There's other guys on that list too that they could protect. So they have a bunch of players that they, you know, you want to have as much flexibility as possible and protect as many players as you want to protect. And so by getting rid of Harrison, by releasing him, at least you give yourself another option in terms of, you know, saving that one prospect, because the Phillies are in a tough spot. You know, all these guys aren't going to hit, right? You know, all these prospects aren't going to pan out, but you don't really know which ones aren't going to pan out and which ones are going to pan out. So you don't want to, like, keep Matt Harrison on the roster or keep an extra guy on the roster, only protect 7, and then that 8th guy is the one that you're like, borderline, you don't protect him, he gets picked, and then that person turns out to be a superstar and you end up kicking yourself for the next 15 years.
Yeah, that's not good, because those are the kinds of things that fans remember as well every time they see that guy out there on the field. Hey, we had that guy at one point. One more thing I wanted to touch on with you, Todd, is the closer position. Genmar Gomez didn't really get it done for the Phillies. They added Pat Neshek, so that's a little bullpen depth already with the trade with the Astros. But do they need to add a late-inning guy? And that said, I'm assuming we're not talking about Kenley Jansen, Aroldis Chapman, or Mark Melancon.
Right, yeah, those guys you could definitely scratch off the list. But, yeah, I agree with you. I think they need to go out and get on the back end of the bullpen piece for the same reason that they liked Howie Kendrick. Because they're going to have such little roster flexibility because after adding all these Rule 5 guys, they need a guy that they know can go out there next season and in some way, shape, or form pitch effectively in the 7th, 8th, 9th inning. So, I mean, names that I've kind of thrown out there, Joe Blanton, who pitched great for the Dodgers last season, you know, not necessarily a closer, but somebody that they could throw in the 7th, 8th, 9th inning if needed. You know, teams that are, I mentioned Sergio Garcia, Sergio Romo as a possibility. You know, looking at teams that might go after Jansen or Chapman, you know, and if those teams sign a top-notch closer, and some of their own free agent relief pitchers might trickle down, and the Phillies might take a run at them. But if I think internally speaking, Hector Neris would be a really good closing option. He was their setup guy last year and was really dominant at times. He's got the great splitter. And I think personally, going into spring training, unless they go out and they get a Romo or whatever, that type of guy, I think Neris will kind of enter camp as the favorite to be the closer, although I don't think they're going to come out and say that. You know, I guess Gomez will have the opportunity to keep his job, but certainly it's far from a guarantee that Gomez will be in that spot. And in fact, if I had to put money on it right now, I would say that Hector Neris will be the closer on opening day 2017.
All right, it's certainly going to be an interesting offseason for the Philadelphia Phillies. This has been MLB.com Extras, our Phillies edition. For Todd Zielecki, I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next week.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.